Welcome to episode 30. I was actually going to do it right this time. This is welcome to episode 42 of Bite Size Lemons.
Hashtag the goal bad episode.
The goal bad episode. So what we did is we recorded and I messed up.
Yeah, we got like 2 minutes in and then only one mic was recording. And Alistair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I just like that we
originally. Oh, we didn't start whispering.
Oh, yep.
Hey, what's up, Nathaniel?
Not much, man. It's good to be on here again.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Oh, so nice. That's a joke that's so beautiful.
So nice.
It's just like.
Yeah. Like,
that was a dumb joke when we did it right the first time.
I know.
And then we totally.
When you say so few people, you mean you and me.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're the only people that'll get that.
On this
like,
planet.
They'll just. Honestly, we shouldn't even explain why we did the whisper thing. We should just move on and let people wonder. Because
they'll never know.
Magical. Okay. So, thanks for having me back on here.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Always.
So this week, we were going to talk about superhero movies again, because that's like, you know, the thing that apparently
kind of what we do.
For. I love that. It's what I will, like, I just, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Superhero movies.
So John rarely sees film.
Apparently, he really doesn't. Like, outside of, I went and saw Star Wars with him the other day, but outside of, like, Star Wars movies, I don't know if he ever goes to movies, like, period.
He hasn't seen The Avengers.
He hasn't seen
Unless he's seen it very recently.
I don't think he has.
And then, like, most of the MCU he hasn't seen. I think he's seen Dark Knight.
God, if he hadn't seen that one, we'd
He's
have
watched
like,
Pokemon 1 and 2 with me.
I mean, those are so good.
Yeah, are they?
I mean, I kind of... The first one's
I
good.
Love them.
The part where Ash gets turned to stone, if you don't tear up a little bit, I don't know how you can...
I went and saw it in theaters when it came to Austin, and man, I cried.
Dude, this
Saturday is the Pokemon Symphony.
I've heard about that. John's going...
Yeah, I bought
I
his ticket.
I didn't even know about it. Like, that's so cool.
It's going to be rad.
I wonder
if they're tickets still.
I don't know. Yeah. I think I work Saturday, so I probably couldn't go anyway.
Just burn the store down.
I would, yeah, exactly, right? God, during Christmas time, I totally would have done that so bad.
Christmas time is crazy.
Christmas time was a nightmare.
So, this is New Year's.
It is.
It is 2017 currently.
Is this the first podcast of the new year?
No.
So, this is the second.
This is going to be the second.
Cool. So, this we're doing a 2016 movie review one the week after the beginning of the
new exactly.
year.
Well, I mean.
Perfect.
I'll let people catch up, I guess.
It's true.
So, yeah, basically, we're going to be ranking the comic book movies, not superhero movies.
Comic book.
All comic book movies. So there's going to be one in there that you're like, "What?"
Oh yeah.
But it's going to make sense, and I'll see if you can figure
it out. Are
we
also like taking into account comic book shows that came out this year?
We can.
Cuz I mean there was Daredevil season 2 which was
Oh yeah. Wait.
It was so good.
So Daredevil season 1 was 15.
I think so.
Okay.
Cuz I know well I don't
Fact check us. Don't do it.
Well, I think, wasn't Jessica Jones last year?
Jessica Jones must have been 16.
Right? Because that was after, like, I remember watching that on, like, Christmas break. And, of course, Luke Cage. That was out this year, too.
Yeah.
That show was good, too.
Dude, Jessica Jones was amazing.
He was such a good villain out of, like, a throwaway kind of villain of the week character in the comic books. And they were just like, yeah, the Purple Man's, like, the scariest thing imaginable. And I'm just like, okay.
He was so terrifying. I don't know if you've seen. I told John about this, like when the show came out, about Doctor Doom.
Yeah,
with him, like in the comics, that is. So Doctor Doom like takes all his armor off, and he's still got his helmet on. And Purple Man's like, "Do this," and he's like, "I'm not going to do that." And Purple Man's like, "What the heck? This has never happened." Oh, it's the helmet. Dr. Doom's like, it is not the helmet. He takes the helmet off, and he's like, sweet, I control Dr. Doom, one of the most powerful villains in the Marvel universe. And he tells him to do something, and he's like, no, and proceeds to beat the crap out of him.
Dr. Doom is the best villain. He's so good.
It's apparently because his willpower was so strong.
I mean, anybody's got like insane willpower of just, I'm going to do what I want, it's Dr. Doom.
Yeah,
just
give him a Green Lantern ring. He'd be unstoppable.
It wouldn't even change his costume that much. He already wears like
I'm
the
telling
big
you,
green
man.
Cloak.
Just a little bit of sparkle.
That's just like when the crossover happens. DC.
I'm ready.
He beats up Green Lantern, takes his ring.
That'd be so. He bad. Probably
That'd
would.
Be so bad for like everybody in the Marvel universe to let Doctor Doom just have like basically make something out of nothing powers.
Because he's also like, a genius.
Super, super smart. Like, he's like Tony Stark level smart, which is...
Oh, yeah. I think he's maybe the second smartest person in the MCU, or the Marvel Universe, next to Reed Richards.
He definitely rivals him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think Reed Richards is, like, the smartest, or considered the smartest. Also, the biggest jerk.
He's... I don't like the Fantastic... Well, speaking of superhero movies that came out, and was 2016 the Fantastic Four?
No, it couldn't have been.
Right?
I don't think so.
But that was a terrible superhero movie. Like, if you ever want to see how not to do a superhero movie, watch that.
Let me just Google Fanforstic.
It was
2015. Okay, thank God. Cool. I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave that one in the
dust. We're gonna brush that under the
carpet. We still haven't even...
We need a roast and toast.
We were already getting into the superhero movie.
Yeah, because
that's what we are like so in tune with.
Luckily, I've been straying you away from that, but so we haven't gotten into the details of those. But we're gonna do some roast 'em, toast 'em. We're gonna do the essential Pokemon Book of Joy, and then we're gonna do some news wedge, and then we'll talk about it.
Oh, so good.
I'll put in a timestamp in the description when we start talking about it. If you want to skip all that, roast 'em, toast 'em, Golbat.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with the toasting.
So we go roast then toast.
Okay,
so he doesn't feel that bad. It's like a compliment sandwich.
Okay, so then yeah, we get him the bad way out. I kind of forget, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just listen to both parts and I'm like, yeah. Most of the time, I really agree more with like the toast or the roastings than the toastings,
because yeah.
there's some Pokemon that deserve some toasting and some ones that really really deserve some roasting.
Like, especially like 1 through 42.
There hasn't been a lot of really strong ones.
Not anymore. Really. We like, got like the starters. Then
and
we've
once
got...
you're done with that, you've got, Weedle. Yeah, I love Weedle.
All that stuff. And then we've got Nidoking and Nidoqueen. Those were good.
Those were really good ones.
Besides that, like Ninetales, I think that's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
Are you ready for me to roast them?
Go ahead and roast it, my boy.
All right, I've written a short poem, a poem, if you will, for Golbat.
A verse of words.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You have a giant mouth with wings flying about. Take care of baby Zubat. Too bad about all your stats.
Oh. To be fair, yes.
You've been roasted.
I'm going to toast it. Alistair, how dare you insult Golbat's stats?
I'm sorry.
They're so average.
Which is better than 50% of other Pokemon.
Exactly. You know, he's so well-rounded, Alistair.
Oh.
That's, you know, he's got like 90 to 70 in like almost everything. Super, super rounded. But you know what, Alistair? Boom, he's going to get a stat boost because you throw that EVO light on there.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Clearly,
very nice.
He's not just an inferior Crobat. Definitely not at all that. 100% not that.
Wow,
at
you
all.
Really believe that, huh?
Also, Alistair, guess what? He's a flying type. You know what move he learns?
What?
Brave Bird. And you know why that's amazing? Because he's not a bird. He's a bat. How brave is that?
Brave bat.
He's so brave that he's like, I'm going to be like a bird now, except I'm a big mouth bat thing.
Big mouth bat.
Big mouth bat.
You've seen its original sprite. You showed me it.
Oh,
it's difficult to look
at. That sprite is... You know what, Alistair? I'm going to say that sprite is intentionally like weird and awkward because it's trying to make you uncomfortable because he's so spooky scary.
He's a brave bat.
He's a brave bat. Doing his thing with his giant monster tongue.
Very nice.
And also being kind of weirdly like off-center and S-shaped, even though he's a bat.
Honestly, all the Gen 1 sprites were a little rough.
So nuts. But Alistair, guess what?
What?
How you use freaking Golbat?
How?
You use Toxic... And then you roost and you brave bat. And that's
not
all he's
bad.
Got going for him. Because, you know, that's all you need.
It's actually not bad.
I mean...
And even light is actually a brilliant idea. I didn't even think of that.
Yes, except for the fact that he's, you know... I'm not allowed to
Don't
to
you
roast.
Dare.
I won't roast. Hashtag Golbat, you're a great guy.
What a guy.
With a big mouth, you could probably eat a whole watermelon in one bite.
That is going to be the hashtag of this episode. And I will remember it. Not at all.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Way to go. All right, now we've got a reading from the Essential Pokemon Book of Joy, WWPD. What do you think that stands for?
What would Pikachu
Hey!
Do?
First
I
try.
Totally got that and not was reading the cover that you were showing me.
Oh, well, fair enough. John is yet to get it. Maybe if he listens to this episode, he'll figure out what it means, but I don't know.
I mean, that's why you've got me here, is because John's just an inferior version, right?
Whoa.
Hashtag throwing down the gauntlet.
Hashtag
come back, fight me.
Golbat. All right, you ready for this? You have to guess who said it.
Yes.
This one is tough.
I got it.
Oh, who is it?
you know what? Professor Oak.
Let me go ahead and read this. Professor Oak. All right. The future looks bright for our heroes now, but up ahead, Viridian Forest is deeper and darker than they know, and a dangerous new challenge is waiting.
Well, that's got to be like the narrator. Of the
very well done,
was that,
sir.
Was that actually not supposed to be hard, or was that supposed
to
be hard?
Oh, that was supposed to be tough.
Because I can, like, what? That was clearly he's summing up an episode, Alistair.
All right, man. Okay. All right. Simmer down.
I mean, you know, it's just clearly, Alistair, the you summing
are,
up of an episode.
Honestly?
Like, there's no way that's not what it was. Come on.
John, this is our last episode. Nathaniel's going to be taken over from here. He's clearly the superior human being.
Don't you forget it.
Don't dare. All right, we got some news, Wedge. Are you ready for them?
Let's hear this.
All right, we're going to blaze through these.
Hashtag
are you ready?
Is a good Pokemon ability. I'm just going to float that out.
I was about to say, I was going to make some Blaziken joke, but cool.
Blaziken's, oh, I love Blaziken. So good. Also, how could you, like, going way, way back.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Way
I won't even
back.
Remember this. Continue.
When you guys did your favorite fire types, oh, you didn't have Charizard in any of your categories except honorable mention. Do you know how much that hurt me inside, Alistair?
Sorry, man. Charmazard.
Charizard. Oh. You guys did have some good Blaziken talk in there, so I'm a little
bit... Dude, Blaziken's good. Houndoom.
Houndoom is so good. I get that.
What else did we have?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I remember very
Nummel
specifically
is
you
my
snubbed
favorite
Charizard,
cute.
And I was like...
I snubbed him? How?
You guys didn't put him as, like, your cool, your best, your...
Dude, my cool was...
Like, overall favorite,
I think my
nothing.
Cool...
You just put him in honorable mentions, and I was so mad at the time.
John's cool was Blaziken.
Yes.
I don't know
it
what
is
his,
a very cool
I don't know what his overall was. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But my, you had, like... I feel like one of you guys had, like, Nummel / Camerupt, and I was
dude,
like, this is wrong.
Nummel is
have-
my favorite cute Pokemon for fire type. Dude. All right, you know what? You know what, Nathaniel?
Charmander.
Next...
Throwing it down.
Next week. No, next month for February. You and me, we'll sit down. We'll do...
Best fire types?
Okay, here's what we'll do. John, yourself, and I will sit down, and we will rank fire types top 10.
Oh,
and we
easy.
Have to agree
I already have, like,
by the end of the episode.
Oh. Well, it's going to be like all the starters at the top.
So we
right?
get 5 each, and we have to narrow it down to top 10.
I'm okay with this. I totally am super, super down for that.
Or top 10 each, and then we have to narrow it down.
I feel like if we do... Oh, no. We'll just do top 5 each, because then if we do that, it'll be like a 4-hour episode, Alistair.
Fine with that.
Okay. I'll do that. Let's do it.
All right.
Find a date. We'll
I'm down for
happen.
That. Cool. Pokemon Snap. Is out for the Wii U.
Oh, you were waiting for me to snap.
No, I wasn't. I just, it was kind of spur of the moment. All right.
That's
Pokemon. All right, let's try it again. Pokemon Snap. Hey.
Is
out for the Wii U. No editing required. That's fine.
I mean, yeah. Is it a new version or
no,
is it the exact
same
game? It's
an quote unquote HD remix, which means
well,
nothing because.
Yeah, like,
for HD remixes of,
like the last HD remix I remember them making was pretty much Wind Waker, but that was
well
like
they did
the exact same game.
They
like.
Did
Twilight Princess.
That's true. They
and
did
it was
Twilight.
Identical.
Yeah, I know. Well, because that game was natively HD on the Wii. Or
yeah, exactly.
Or
and
it
was just
like,
it was on a better system.
Yeah.
So it ran a little bit better, but it looked exactly the same.
Well, I mean, I guess if you've never played Pokemon Snap, it's pretty fun. Get it, I guess? That was always, like, the Pokemon game that other people really liked, and I was like, I mean...
Man, we are pooping over everything today.
Alistair, we're going to talk about superhero movies. I mean, come on. That's going to happen
so much poop.
So much. And then we're going to talk about
man.
Some that we're going to be like, this movie is amazing. Go watch it right now.
Fair enough.
Good.
Mass Effect Andromeda. Has a release date, which is March 21st in America and March 23rd internationally.
That's pretty cool. Although, I've heard like things in the past that they've been like saying they might delay it and et cetera, et cetera.
I've heard that as well.
So, I mean, I loved the Mass Effect games. I played through all 3 of them. I never actually finished the third one because I had Xbox problems, but I would absolutely go back and get into that series again.
It looks pretty good. Do you have an Xbox One?
I do. Cool. I actually have it on my Xbox One. Do like the old download way onto it, but I just haven't gone back and actually done it.
Fair enough.
We were doing retail on Christmas, and it was like, nope.
That'll kill
your free time is dead.
You have none.
You have no days off for a month. And
that's,
I was like,
that's why we're doing this as the second episode in January instead of...
This is true.
Chronicles of Illyria. I don't know if you've heard of this game. It's an MMO, and your character ages over like a four-month period.
That's kind of cool.
And like from, you know, very young teen to old man.
That's actually... pretty rad.
It's pretty cool.
You could be an old man by the end of it. That's really cool.
So basically, unless you're killed, obviously, then you get a new character. But if your character is an old man, people are like,
this guy's legit.
This guy's been playing for a while. Yeah.
I kind of want the guy who plays it once and then 4 months later comes back and plays it again and his character's just a super, super old man.
Well, I think it's based on gameplay. Otherwise,
slightly less cool, but still kind of cool.
He's still wearing like a potato sack from the beginning.
I would love that. I would love if he just let the game idle for like
four months,
and he was like super super old man, but so that everybody thinks he's cool, but he's like level one and doesn't know anything about the game,
and wearing a potato sack.
It'd be amazing.
There you go. Okay, here's a bit of speculation news. A lot of actors. I say a lot. I mean one. Actors have been visiting the Overwatch studios.
Oh, that's cool.
Especially Terry Crews.
Terry Crews going to be in Overwatch?
So either they've got celebrity voice actors or Overwatch movie. Or series or whatever.
Overwatch movie.
Wouldn't that be
amazing? I mean,
have you
not, like, all of the animated shorts
they've
done for that?
Brilliant.
Part? My favorite one has got to be the Bastion one. That one speaks so much with, like, basically no words, which is honestly, if you want to know, like, as somebody who kind of like wants to be an animator and stuff, if you want to know how to do a really good animation, watch that.
That's how to do it. Yeah,
so good.
It's
so good.
Crazy how, I mean, they're like Disney level.
Yeah, easily.
And they're amazing. I love them. I don't really play Overwatch, and I've watched them a lot.
Overwatch is a really good game. All the characters are, well, I mean, that's like why the shorts work, I think, is just all the characters are so well developed and so, like, they just feel like real people in a way. And, you know, you can connect with, it's so diverse that you can connect with, like, all kinds of different characters and find something to like about them. And, you know, it's a really good game.
Yeah. Like, the most recent one's Sombra.
Yes.
And the animation for that was better than basically any spy movie I've ever seen in my life.
It was pretty good. Pretty dang good.
That's unbelievable that a 6-minute short can somehow have a greater impact than every spy espionage movie that I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah, it's just they know it. Like, I will say that I've said this before, probably not to you, but Blizzard knows how to make animated trailers. Like, some of their stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch some of the Diablo trailers and stuff like that from years past, those are really awesome. The World of Warcraft, like the shorts, whenever they announce a new thing, those are always really cool. They just really are good at animating stuff. Like, if they do an Overwatch movie, I would absolutely see that.
Dude, I would see it. I'd see the midnight showing of that.
Yeah.
And I don't really play Overwatch.
Yep.
I died during the tutorial. Like, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, really. I know. Yeah, I think they do great work. And the voice actors are good as well.
I wonder who Terry Crews would even be in the Overwatch movie.
Sombra, probably.
I mean...
Maybe May.
Probably Mercy, right? Come on.
Yeah, definitely.
Tall white girl with blonde hair, Terry Crews. Exactly.
Terry Crews is a chameleon, man.
Okay.
I just want Dwayne The Rock to play everyone.
I mean, I would love to see Dwayne The Rock play everyone, just like...
Without changing his voice.
I want him to be in just as many silly outfits as you can possibly put him in, because that's...
Oh, so amazing. Would you want live action or animated? Everything's animated except The Rock, who's green screen. That'd be good.
I would say I would want animated.
Same.
I think I just would. I would not be opposed to, like, a live action one. Like, if they did go that route, I'd still see it, but I don't think I would like it as much as I would like
the I think they have a lot more flexibility if they did, you know, animated with all the characters being able to jump off buildings and stuff like that. And here is your last news wedge.
Let's hear it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you?
So ready.
Bite-sized Lemons is now on Instagram. And you can find us at Bite-sized Lemons.
Not pretty lemon-sized bites, bite-sized lemons. Get it right.
That's the one. So, with that, we are now going to start talking about the
superhero movies. Yes?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
superhero movies that came
comic book movies that comic came out this movies. Year.
That's fair.
There were two other ones planned. Can you name all 9 movies that were planned?
Planned?
Yeah. So 7 of them happened.
God, ones that didn't happen this year.
Well, there's 7 that did happen and then 2 that were planned that didn't happen. So can you name...
I kind of would have to imagine that 2 of them would be like ones that got delayed maybe or something like that. Like
maybe.
I'm just trying to remember movies that were supposed to happen. Like there was...
All right, go for the movies that did happen.
Doctor Strange.
1.
Civil War.
2.
Suicide Squad.
3.
X-Men Apocalypse last year? This year?
Yeah.
Okay, X-Men Apocalypse.
4.
Was Batman v Superman this year?
5.
Okay. Batman v Superman. Jeez, what else happened this year?
Oh, man. It's an early one.
It's not any of the Marvel movies, I don't think.
No Marvel movies left. So there's one movie that is technically owned by Marvel, but it's by a different studio.
Oh, Big Hero 6?
No, that was 2 years ago.
Was that like I don't
Deadpool?
Know. Oh, Deadpool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
How did I forget about that?
And then there's another movie which was originally a manga, which was turned into an American comic book series. You want a hint?
It's not Neon Genesis Evangelion is what comes to mind because I've been seeing trailers for that, but that's not out yet.
It's about big turtles that are ninjas, and they're mutants, and they're also teenagers.
Ninja Turtles?
Very good!
That's a good point. I guess I don't think about that as a comic book movie, but they were originally comic book characters. Yeah,
yeah, so TMNT 2.
Oof.
Woof. So, then we've got 2 other ones that were planned. One of them was Gambit.
Oh, that didn't...
That was for November, and it got pushed away.
Did they announce a new time for it, or is it just... gone.
Just not really happening anymore.
Oh, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, for Channing Tatum. I don't like him as Gambit.
I don't think... Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't really think he looks like Gambit, but... I mean, I like Gambit.
I see what people are going for.
A movie, yeah.
But... Yep. Nice try, guys. And then Sinister Six. Obviously, what ended up happening was the rights went to Marvel.
Yeah, they decided to put Spider-Man back with Spider-Man Homecoming.
The way God intended it.
God, have you seen the trailers for Homecoming?
Oh, yeah.
That looks so good.
Comes out this year.
I'm super excited for that. 7/7/17. That's August. That's a long time, but, you know.
Oh, it's a while.
What's the next superhero movie that comes out? Is that Wonder Woman? Because that also looks really good.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Because I don't... Or maybe it's Thor 3. Or no, it's probably Guardians 2. Guardians 2 comes out this year, too.
That's true.
I don't know. But, you know, one of those movies. Those are all... I'm honestly looking forward to every movie we pretty much just named there.
So, you've got Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, Wonder Woman, the Lego Batman movie, Kingsman 2...
Kingsman 2. All right, I wasn't aware that was a comic book movie, but that was a good movie.
Justice League.
Oh, yeah, that's this year, too.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And Logan.
Oh, yeah, Old Man Logan. That one's going to be... Basically. I kind of like that one, too. That looked pretty
I'm into that. I think... And it's finally an R.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know how they ever did Wolverine really without that. Like, Wolverine's main powers are stabbing people with knives.
Yeah, ripping people to pieces.
Like... I don't know how you do that at PG-13, but I guess just whatever. Just don't
no
show
blood
up.
In those people. That's weird. All right, so we will go in order of when they came out, but we're going to rank them.
Okay.
We're going to... This is definitive ranking system.
Super definitive, as we don't have rankings already established at all. We're just going to kind of go with it. I'm okay with this. All
right. So...
Should we start at the bottom? Or do you want to start at the top?
Well, okay, let's go through them as they came out.
Yeah.
And then we'll place it somewhere.
And then we'll change the numbers as we see fit. Okay,
sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, Deadpool. What did you think of Deadpool? Came out in February.
Deadpool was good. It was really funny. It was, like, genuinely entertaining. I think they really got, actually, the spirit of Deadpool in that
perfectly.
Movie, too. They really captured him. The fourth wall breaks. All the just kind of the insane shenanigans with the dirty jokes, the really kind of intense violence. Like, he spells out a guy's name in corpses, which is pretty hardcore.
And the dot on the eye is a man's hat.
Yeah. I really like that movie. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with it from here. I've heard the rumors of them bringing him more into ties with the X-Men so that it's not just Colossus, which... honestly, Colossus was probably my least favorite part in that movie. He was just a big CGI goofball.
Yeah, but I thought he worked more as real Colossus, unlike the X-Men.
He definitely was more so than the Colossus in the... Well, they never even called him Colossus or anything. They were he's just going to be this weird cameo character.
I don't know what they called him. I think his name was Reggie. Honestly. Because his real name is Rasputin.
Which is awesome!
Super Russian. And he's super Russian. And then Negasonic. Teenage Warhead was pretty interesting just because she got Cannonball's powers.
Yeah.
So basically what I think happened was Tim Miller, the guy who directed it, was what is the craziest name?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead is a pretty... As Deadpool says in the movie, he's that's awesome!
Can we trade names? Yeah, I think Ryan Reynolds was perfect for that role. He's wanted to play him for a while.
Well, I mean, they had him originally in the X-Men Origins Wolverine as the worst version of Deadpool, and it's...
Ever.
It's weird to me that they went from that, which is probably one of the worst renditions of a character from comic books in...
Basically,
other media. I can't think of another character that was so entirely wrong as that version of Deadpool.
Yeah, it was terrible. The beginning part where he's all pretty
where
boy,
he's actually Deadpool, where he's I'm a mercenary kind of,
but he's
dude.
Still pretty.
Yeah,
it's what is happening? They just abandoned everything about his character.
Yeah, and then they were he's not even gonna. Well, it was weird to me because it almost seemed kind of an insult to the fans because they were the merc with the mouth, and then they take his mouth away in that movie. It's what? Why would you even...
That movie was so bad.
That was a bad movie.
That movie had Will.i.am as one of the main actors. That is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who did that. Brett Ratner? Someone like that directed it? Or not good.
Not good.
Not Bryan Singer.
Honestly, most of the solo Wolverine movies haven't really been that great. The Wolverine, where he fought the Silver Samurai.
Wolverine was fine. Had some decent action. But it was...
It just didn't really have any, staying power to me. It wasn't this is cool.
All the old stuff.
Yeah.
When they went through the wars, which is probably about 5 minutes of movie.
That was actually
was
really
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I would love to have seen more of that and had it been his journey and all that stuff, but...
Instead, we got Wolverine with no powers.
Yeah, it was kind of... And I don't even know why. That lady put poison in him or something, because apparently that's good enough. It was a weird thing that got into his heart.
It was a bug thing that went in his heart.
I still
bug.
Don't even know what her powers really were. She's I'm a kind of mutant thing. I guess I just... Negate
got,
Wolverine's powers because whatever.
I've got bangs.
Do that. Yeah, that was.
The problem with that movie is they wanted to take. That's what I think when they learned.
Yeah,
because they did Wolverine Origins and it was wow, people hate this.
Yeah,
and then they did The Wolverine, which is got aspects of, Old Man Logan, when he loses his powers and stuff, and fans were this is bad.
Yeah.
But better.
It was. I will say this. The Wolverine was better than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, easily. But I think with Logan, they're going to try and do something that is...
really good. And I really hope that they succeed on this one. God, though, Alistair, speaking of superhero movies, I'm kind of worried about it. Because
more one.
That one, because they have had a bad track record with Wolverine movies, and the last time I got really excited for a superhero movie that had been like the previous ones had been not so great. Speaking of Suicide Squad.
Is it Suicide Squad?
Because do you remember like the last time we were on here? You and I both
we were pumped for
Suicide Squad, and
The thing was, it was an incredible trailer.
It was a and that's kind of the problem I have with Old Man Logan. That's a really good trailer. It looks really good. It uses one of my favorite songs.
It's the songs, man. They get us with the songs. Bohemian Rhapsody
I'm into this.
I'm on board.
And Hurt by Johnny Cash?
That'll destroy any grown man.
So good. Okay,
That's my dad's favorite song.
I love that song.
He loves that song, man.
I don't even know if you maybe told me this fact, but I think that the original writers of it, the Nine Inch Nails, pretty much gave the rights to Johnny Cash.
They just
Cash,
gave it to him.
Which is, like, that's they were like, the
this,
highest compliment.
This isn't our song anymore.
That's a beautiful. Cool compliment. Like, yeah. That's the highest compliment I think you can really give to another singer or performer is, you own this song so much better than us that it's yours now.
And like, they knew that he wasn't going to live for that much longer. And so it's like, they just pretty much discarded the rights to that song. They weren't giving him any money out of it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's just a cool story in general. Like,
cool guys. That is a cool thing to do.
What a class act, those guys.
Class act. Well, also, those guys are weird, but...
They are a little bit weird, but you know.
That is classy.
Okay. So, we got way off track there. Originally, we were talking
about Deadpool. Yeah, so it's super true to his character. And the problem, I think, with, like... The reason I like Deadpool as a character...
Yeah.
Is because he shows up in other people's comic books.
Yes.
And ruins it. And then he disappears after like two
panels
or
something.
Well, I mean,
that's like his entire thing with Spider-Man is he just shows up and just makes a mess of everything. And then he's like, Parker, later. And then it's like, great. And you
know, Peter Parker has to clean up everything in the city. I think that Deadpool comics, like solo Deadpool stuff, I find them really annoying by the end of it.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's overload.
I kind of agree with you there. Yeah. A lot of people really like Deadpool's kind of antics, but I kind of am totally right there with you, where Deadpool's antics are best in small doses, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I think this worked, because it was old him.
Yeah.
Plus his transition and,
well, I mean,
you know,
it was
Deadpool.
A really good origin story for him, too. Like, that's probably one of my favorite parts of the movie, because it's so intense. Mm. When they put him in, like, the crazy tube thing.
Insane.
That was like, oh.
You thought this was a love story? No, it's
this
a horror
like
story.
This is like a torture story right here. It was intense. Like, dang.
Yeah, he was really, really convincing in this movie. It was really touching. And I think something that this movie benefited from was the jumping around of timelines.
Yeah.
Because they
kind of
start
with that.
Where?
Well, they start with the fight scene on the bridge, which is crazy, which is a great intro for the movie because it sets the tone so well of like, this is going to be a kind of crazy over-the-top movie with all kinds of nuts action. And then they kind of cut back and give you some like emotional so you get invested in the characters. And then
God,
they jump back.
It was
back
so good.
That was a good movie.
It was good. Oh, man, because...
They just structured that movie well, which in all honesty,
really
like... And I hate to keep drawing this comparison, but when you compare something like Suicide Squad, I don't think that they did it nearly as well. Like,
not at all.
Like, between the two of them, there's a lot of the same sort of ideas going on here where it's like, we're going to show backstories of people and kind of cut back and forth. But Deadpool nailed it on a level that just didn't happen at all in Suicide Squad.
Well, I think with that, it separated the antics.
Yeah.
That's why I'm scared for Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it might just be overload of
too much
poop
crazy
and butt jokes.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Man, I really like this movie now I think of it.
Yeah.
As of right now, it is number one.
It's pretty good. Oh. Well,
because
okay, we'll get through it. We'll talk about more.
Because that's it right now.
But it is one of one so far.
What was your favorite moment of Deadpool?
Oh, that's hard to say. God, there were so many good parts of it.
I know what my favorite part is.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is when he chops off his hand and he gets
a little baby hand.
And
I was literally just thinking
that's
that.
That's a good
like,
part.
That's such a good jab.
And he's talking with Blind Al.
Yeah.
And she says, she's never going to take me back. I'm like so ugly. And she goes, what's his name? Wade. She goes, Wade, love is blind. And he goes, no, Al, you're blind. You're blind. I cried laughing during that movie just because it was, there's so much tonal stuff going on where it's sad and happy and it's brilliant.
It's a good movie. It's a very, very good superhero movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so
next, as of right now, on the list of one, it is number one. Next came Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is there like a category lower than last? Because oh, boy. I didn't even see that movie.
Really? All right, it's at the bottom. TMNT2. Here's the deal.
I saw part of the first one on TV and was like, this is awful. It's just bad. Like, not going to go see the next one either.
Here's what happened. I didn't see the first one. And everyone was like, it was garbage. It's one of the worst movies, worse than Transformers 1. I'm like, hey, Transformers 1 has a brilliant opening.
Transformers 1 does actually have some moments. It goes down.
All the Transformer moments are great.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of the thing.
Or the fighting, at least.
Yeah. That to me is where Michael Bay kind of shines, is he knows how to do an action scene really well.
Sure does.
It's all the stuff in between it that's like weird and pointless. And this is where I kind of jumped ship. I didn't see the last Transformers movie, the fourth one with the dinosaurs.
I haven't seen it either.
I jumped ship on the third Transformers because there's a solid... What one
is that? Return of the Fallen or something like that?
I think so.
Is that when the Prime came back?
I might have jumped ship on the second one then, because it was the Fallen. Prime. It was the one with the giant, where they had like the pyramid and there was
That's the third one, I think.
That one was so...
What was the second one?
No, the third one was the one with where they fought...
Exactly!
That's the point!
There's no one so even knows what they're about.
I think the third one was the one where they were in Chicago and there was like the big fight scenes and all that stuff.
Oh, like in the sky?
And there was the good guy who was a bad guy, but he wasn't really a bad guy.
And there was something like... They started building
like
Cybertron, maybe?
Yeah, they started bringing like Cybertron.
I didn't see that.
That was a bad one.
All right, so yeah, I saw the second one.
The second one...
was the Fallen one.
That one, honestly, I think it kind of went like... woo! Like,
it got better on the third one?
The third one was actually better than the second one, I think. But it's still not enough for me to really go see the fourth one. The second one of Transformers is garbage. So terrible. Like, there's a whole scene in that movie where 45 minutes go by and there's no Transformers. And there's nothing happening. Like, they're just like, here's freaking Shia LaBeouf running through a desert because he's gonna do whatever. And there's like, there's a point in the movie where there's like a bunch of soldiers in the desert too, where they're like, we're gonna fight the Transformers, except none of the Transformers are in any of the shots. Like, if you want to show like a soldier guy fighting a giant robot, cool, I'm on board with that. Yes. But then they don't even show it. They just show the soldiers like, shooting at nothing. And then they're like, there's a Transformer kind of off in the background over there, but it doesn't even look like a Transformer.
It saves $100,000
like,
in CGI.
Here's this gray thing that's kind of over there. You see like half a shot of it for like a second, jump cut away to nothing, and it's like, it was so bad. And I feel like TMNT kind of has the same problem.
The first one? Yeah. Here's the deal with the first one. I didn't see it. Heard it was awful. Heard everything bad about what you just said. I went and saw the second one, expecting one of the worst movies of all time.
Was it okay?
I had a good time.
Really?
It wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, I kind of imagine. But that's, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, if you're going to a Michael Bay movie, you're looking for like explosions and crazy action. So
I really liked Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
I had a good time. I thought it was really goofy. It wasn't as like uber serious as the Transformers movies.
Yeah, the Transformers movies take them really seriously. But.
And it was fun. It wasn't good.
So where do you think this movie sits then? Is this like a 5 or is it like...
I think it's worse than all of these other movies.
I think you're kind of right there. There was like, if you're going to say movies that were bad but you still had fun with, I keep saying it's a bad movie.
But yeah, I did have a good time.
All right, then we'll put that somewhere near the bottom for now.
Yeah, it's below Deadpool.
Yes.
As of right now, it is number 2. okay, then you know what happened?
Batman v Superman?
The greatest movie of all time was supposed to come out.
Ugh.
Batman vs. Superman.
Ugh. That movie, I went back and I watched the Ultimate Edition, which is like
Have you?
I have. And honestly, that's the better version of that movie.
Okay.
It solves a lot of the really weird stuff of like, why is this happening and all this stuff. Well, because, I mean, in the problem that I have with this movie is that the plot by Lex Luthor was really, really, really complicated.
The pee in the jar?
That was just a weird choice in general.
That was weird. Okay, yeah, he was weird.
Like, I don't know why they even had that part in there, per se. Like, why did he even talk to the senator? What was that even... Like, if you were going to go for that route, go for the route that he gets Superman into the Capitol and then explodes it. That was the point of all of that.
Yeah.
You didn't need to invite the senator to your house and do all this other dumb stuff. Have Bruce Wayne's employee be the guy who blows up the thing and whatever. Like, that part makes sense. That's a good plan of... You know, Metropolis kind of got smashed.
Lex Luthor-y.
Yeah. But there was so... Like, the whole why did he go to the desert thing and all that stuff, they kind of flashed that out in the, like, extended edition or whatever. The Ultimate Edition, I'm sorry. But it just didn't really... It still was kind of like, this is a weird, kind of pointless thing. Like, I mean, really, the plan ultimately came down to, I have Superman's mom... Batman, go kill Batman or let Batman kill you, the end. Like, I don't know why he needed to go through all this stuff of, like, let's make them fight or whatever. Like, I guess maybe to get on Batman's side, but the way they portrayed Batman, it seemed like he wanted to fight Superman anyway. So it's like...
Yeah, he was just angry for no reason, it felt like.
Yeah.
And Batman is way smarter than that.
I agree. It's very characteristic of kind of the Frank Miller sort of aesthetic of really grim and gritty Batman, where he's just like, I am Batman.
I mean, yeah. And that's what this was loosely based on. Aspects of it.
Yes. Yes, it was. I would say that this movie is not the worst movie on this list.
It had good moments.
It did. Some of the fight scenes were... Well, I mean, the fight scene between Batman and Superman was... That was the part where I was like, I've wanted to watch this since I was 5 years old.
The first 40 seconds of it were amazing.
It was so good.
And then the second kryptonite gas canister hit him. And it was like, no, I don't buy that. Superman was out of the way.
Yep. I don't know. That movie kind of had problems. The parts with Doomsday were all right.
Ugh.
But I don't...
God, I hated the fact that they brought in Doomsday. So they did...
Well, Doomsday's the weirdest character in DC Comics, because his whole basic point as a character was, like, he's the guy that's going to beat up Superman. Mm-hmm. And then if you find out his origin story, it's, like, the craziest stuff ever. Like,
it's pretty
cool.
I like it.
You like it?
Nah, yeah. The one where they throw him into the wilderness and he, like...
Throw a baby out of a cannon into the wilderness.
That's awesome.
And then they scoop up the remaining baby goop and clone it.
Yeah. Make it stronger and stronger until nothing can
so
kill it.
Dumb. No.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's terrible. I don't understand, like, what the scientist was thinking. Like, he's like, how does this end? Like, where is the end game to this plan? I shoot baby goop out of a cannon, and then eventually I'm going to create the ultimate monster. This cannot possibly work out.
The scientist
is
like, step one, all right, I shoot a baby out of a cannon. No, hear me out, guys, hear me out. Step two, the baby is murdered. Okay, all right, hold on, guys, hold on. Step three, I scoop up the dead baby and clone it. Wait, what? You're gonna clone it? You're
and
not gonna alter its
the whole
DNA
process again?
Yeah. So this is like 1990s talk for we're gonna.
Well, I mean,
alter
the whole point
DNA.
Of it was that they created this kind of character who Superman can't really kill because basically once a thing has been used to quote unquote kill Doomsday or defeat him, once he's evolved and he's immune to it, which is just kind of a stupid ability power set, like. It very much reflects kind of Superman, where it's like, yeah, there's just kind of...
He just can't die.
Yeah. And I guess that they kind of need that, because Superman's ridiculously OP too, so whatever.
And the only thing that can kill Doomsday is himself.
Yeah, I know, and whatever. But I thought that the kind of the fight scene was alright. I liked that it kind of... I like that it kind of sets up Justice League. Like...
Yeah, that's the pretty much the only good thing that came out of that. Like, it makes sense, I get it.
Yeah.
But why? Why do you have to bring in the Dark Knight Returns, right?
Yeah.
That's and Death of Superman, and put them in one movie, which is the first movie with Batman and Superman together.
It's just like, felt so weird to me that, 'cause, and I think this is kind of something the DC movies have struggled with a little bit, is I don't feel like they had the good setup movies. Like, the reason the Avengers worked is because you're invested in all the characters because you had individual movies. This was Batman's first new movie, and it felt his motivation. I think that was kind of part of the problem, is they shoved way too much into one movie. They tried to do Death of Superman and Dark Knight Returns, and you have to get through all of why Batman does what he does, and you got to get through all of how Superman feels about it.
It could have been a two-parter.
And you shoved in Wonder Woman, and it's like...
And Wonder Woman.
It was just a lot in one movie. And they shoved in, like, 12 different cameos of, like, 100 different things. Like, the Omega symbol signaling Darkseid. The Flash just shows up because whatever, and we're not sure if that's a dream sequence or if that's time travel that was. And
that's
just,
probably Flashpoint, right?
I kind of think so, but I don't know for sure. Like, I don't know if that was actually a dream or not. And then they had that whole bit where they showed, like, all the other things. Are like, here's Aquaman and Cyborg and et cetera.
Oh, yeah, the email.
Which is just like, oh, yeah, email. Superheroes are real. Deal with it.
Yeah. Have you seen the that post? Someone's like, Captain America meets two gods, still is a Christian. The Hulk meets two gods, beats both of them up.
Yeah.
And then Batman's like, meets two gods, beats one up, and emails the other.
Yeah.
Pretty good. The problem with this movie was it was a mess.
Yeah.
It had a lot of awesome ideas. Batman was basically amazing in this movie.
Well, yeah, I would agree. Batman was a very good Batman.
I love the Batflack.
Yeah. I just think, again, if they had... It seems like a movie that was kind of rushed and not really super well planned out. Like, I understand the plans they were trying to go with. And to be fair, the Ultimate Edition is by far the better version of that
movie. Is it good? Or is it still kind of messy?
They do a lot to resolve the messiness and kind of make it seem like it kind of had a better plan going. I still think that there's a lot of unnecessary stuff. Like, the Lex Luthor plan is still really, really convoluted for no seeming reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better. I would say that it's a solid, like, 20% better, probably.
Oh, okay. So it's like 22% good.
Yes.
So
I would say this one goes squarely between Deadpool and TMNT.
Absolutely. Yeah, this had Batman kicking butt, also murdering people left and right. But
that was another thing that really
was a little
kind of
questionable
because it was like, because Batman, even when like the dark versions of Batman, and there have been some in comics that have like, you know, kind of killed some people, and it's like, okay, that's a little intense. Batman generally doesn't. But Batman would never do it with a gun. And in this movie, he just has a sniper rifle. And it's just like, blap. And it's like, what?
Batman? Not Deadshot.
Well, it's like Batman, his whole part of his whole character is that he's very much anti-gun. Like, in the Dark Knight Returns comics, there's like a whole bit where... Like, there's like this kind of gang that's forming that's like trying to follow and emulate Batman, and they're using guns, and he like beats the crap out of the leader and is like, no guns. Guns are the weapons of cowards. And I was like,
dang,
that's pretty intense, Batman.
What's the difference between you and me? I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Exactly.
So the best part of this movie was Batman.
Batman, yeah. Batman
with us.
Well, he
Suicide
stole the
Squad.
Show. He was really good. Just good. There's so many other scenes in that movie, too, that I just think are weird. Like, that part where he's, like, where Batman is having that weird dream where he's, like, in his parents' grave, and it, like...
Oh, the giant bat monster?
Yeah. I don't know why that was in there at all.
I was fine with it. I don't get it. But,
like, to me, that's kind of the problem with that whole movie, is there's a lot of scenes like that, where it's, like, this is, like, a weird symbolism moment that could be, you know, moved out of the way to actually get some of this plot kind of resolved.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a problem with a lot of Zack Snyder films.
Yeah.
I don't like Zack Snyder. But he can't blend symbolism and reality well.
Yeah.
To where it was like, wow, that was a jarring
dream
sequence.
Well, I mean, if you ever want to see what, like, Zack Snyder really turning up to 11 is, go watch Sucker Punch. That movie is...
That's insane.
That movie, I still don't know what that movie's about. Like,
but it looks interesting.
It's interesting. There's some stuff happening. Robots and Nazis and ladies in skimpy outfits with samurai swords. And it's like, okay. And there's symbolism all in the background. I just could never decipher it. Because it's like symbol after symbol after symbol that means this and this and this. And then the ending was really weird. And it's like, okay.
His best movie is 300, in my opinion.
Yeah. I probably agree with that.
I really don't like Zack Snyder as a director. So ditch him after Justice League. Get rid of him.
Okay, next movie.
Well, we said that Batman v Superman was, or Batman was the best part of that movie.
Yes,
he's also the best part of Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that in a second. Next is Captain America: Civil War. Oh. Amazing movie.
So good. Like, well, because see, this movie has the opposite of. Is the opposite of everything that Batman v Superman did wrong. Like,
yeah.
Everything Batman v Superman did wrong, where it's like characters that kind of have weird motivations, overcomplicated plot, etc., blah, blah, blah. Civil War 2.
Not the comic.
About the comics. Civil War did all of that so well. All the characters.
It handled, like, what, 30 characters?
It handled at least like 12 of them, and they were all had solid motivations of why they were there, why they were doing the stuff that they were doing. I mean, heck, it's even like an origin story for Black Panther a little bit. Like,
yeah.
And they just threw that in there, and it works. Every scene that he's in there, there's a reason why he's there. He's kind of the actual, like, the eventual end of that movie is when Black Panther, gets with Zemo and like stops the bullet and is like, no, you're not done with this.
Dude,
yet.
That is a
vengeance has
scene.
Consumed you, but it will not consume me. And I was like, oh,
that's... the living are not through with you yet. Oh! Dude, he so freaking good. Catches a bullet in his hand. That guy is a BA, dude.
He's a boss.
I only have one complaint about this movie, I think just one.
Let's hear it.
It's the giant text where it's like, Moscow!
Yeah.
Los Angeles! It's like, what is happening on these big letters?
I agree with that to a certain extent. I kind of noticed that. But, you know, it's because that movie does change locations a lot and they're kind of wanting to keep you there.
But they were huge.
Probably.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Probably my biggest problem with that movie is that, honestly, the fight scene kind of outshines the rest of it. Like, that's fight true. Scene with Spider-Man and Ant-Man and all that stuff that went on in there, that was, like, the entire movie. Like,
yeah.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. To say that that part was so freaking good that it kind of outshines everything else in that movie is, like, the highest compliment I can really give.
It makes the rest of the incredibly interesting movie feel boring.
It does.
Which is insane.
Because it's really good. There's so many well-developed and well, like, hidden plot threads. Like, when you see at the very beginning of that movie the whole Howard Stark crash, and you don't even, like, understand why that's there, and then
so well
they
done.
Come back to it so well, and it's like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Batman, Superman, Doomsday, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor.
Those
characters.
Those are good characters, and none of them, were really particularly done super well in that movie.
It's really sad because, like, even Hawkeye...
Had weight in that movie. And it was weird. Like, you wouldn't expect to be kind of invested in Hawkeye. But you are. When Romanoff and Hawkeye are fighting, and then What's-Her-Face comes up and was like, you were pulling your punches. It's like, yeah, of course they were. They were friends for, like, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, exactly. Like, the fighting of the friendship, the heartbreak in that movie.
Oh, the heartbreak.
Dear God.
Like, when... That's still one of my favorite parts of that whole movie, is when Tony sees the tape with his, like... mom, that scene, it really just does have weight to it. Like, you see it and you're like, oh, you can. I will say this, Robert Downey Jr. kind of is one of the best actors in that movie. Like, every scene that he in, he sells what he's doing. Like, the part where he sees the kid's mom who's like, you know, my son died in Sokovia.
He's great.
Oh, every part of it. He sells that entire role. Like, I honestly completely lose him. He's Tony Stark in that movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, like, Chris Evans, too, is really, really
good.
Oh, parts
with, the funeral and all that stuff, where it's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's literally, like, that plays into their motivation so well. Because that was Captain America's last link to, like, his home time besides Bucky.
And now Bucky is it.
Bucky's it, yeah. And it's like, he can't let this, you know, go the way it's going to go, because it's... Captain America is, of course, kind of morally right, because Zemo is still manipulating things. But at the same time, I don't think that Captain America was really doing it for the moral rightness at that moment. He's like, you know, I've got to do this because this is important to him as a person.
Yeah, well, and you know, Tony's heartbroken because his parents were murdered by Bucky.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't Bucky.
It wasn't, but well, that's kind of the whole moral complexity of the film is Bucky did these things, but he didn't. It wasn't.
But
his
it wasn't
choice.
Him doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, excellent movie. Spider-Man, hands down, my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, he's the best Spider-Man that's been Spider-Man.
Period. I agree, absolutely. Yeah, dude, what 100%. A movie! I'm gonna go
so
watch
good.
It after this.
I really want to now. Yeah.
So, does this go above Deadpool? Because I'm assuming it goes above TMNT 2 and Batman vs Superman
easily. I don't know. Deadpool was so good for, but it was so good for different reasons. Like,
all right, we'll put it next to. Will they be tied for one until
well,
the
see,
end?
I think Deadpool was easily the best like superhero movie that was kind of like light and funny and you know a good kind of action adventure romp. Civil War, on the other hand, was like
it does require like 14 movies before it.
Yeah, but know? I think that it was. It, to me, is a bit like Batman v Superman, where they tried to do actually something that felt pretty serious and, like, had weight for these characters and stuff, and it succeeded so well. But I wouldn't really go into Civil War saying, like, this is, you know, a very humorful movie. I don't think there's a lot of humor in that movie, really.
Not really. And there, it's the only
but it's
humor.
It's thrilling, it's engaging, yeah. It's intense. Like, the only real humor is in that one fight scene with Spider-Man and Ant-Man, where Ant-Man like throws a truck and it's like, I thought that was water and it's exploded, or you know,
yeah, it's,
where are you from, kid? I'm from Brooklyn,
Queens. That's good. Yeah, the movie is super serious, but it has enough little quips,
yeah,
to keep it from like tearing you to pieces.
Yeah, the Batman v Superman is a good example of not having.
Yeah,
there's no humor in that movie ever,
and all the humor that is in it is like not enough to counteract how serious the rest of it is. Like, she with you? I thought she was with you. That's
yeah.
like,
that's the
that's
joke.
Kind of funny. That's a joke. That's
I guess. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I just want to talk about that Spider-Man in that movie. Like, I know we
dude,
probably got
so
to get
good.
To other movies, but he's so good because he so captures what Spider-Man I feel like has really lacked, which is so much enthusiasm. Like Spider-Man in all the comics, at least for a long time, is kind of at least when he's playing Spider-Man, he's happy. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the only times where that's not really the case is when he's, like, in the Venom symbiote and, like, dark
ooh.
Spider-Man. But, you know.
That's
or
the
90s. Darker-ish. Yeah. Again,
we don't talk about the 90s.
But every other time, Spider-Man's always making jokes. He's always making quips. He's always kind of the enthusiastic
even
part.
When in danger.
Even when in danger. This is one of my things that I remember from the old Justice League cartoon show, which is great. Because they were talking about the Flash, but I think you could easily apply it to Spider-Man 2, where he plays the fool to hide the hero's pain. Which is like,
wow,
that's so yeah. deep and so awesome.
Yeah, and I think he's also the perfect Peter Parker.
He was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do Deadpool dash Civil War at
all right,
the top.
Because
we'll, they kind of think they serve different points. Again, Deadpool's kind of the more comedy, more fun romp. Civil War was a more like intense kind of like...
Oh, we're going to pick by the end. But right now,
I can't, Alistair.
They're tied for number one. What else we got? All right, so we've got three left.
What's
one
next?
Of which we saw together.
Yeah,
X-Men Apocalypse. Now, a lot of people don't really like this movie, say it's one of the worst X-Men movies. It is my favorite X-Men movie,
I
hands
down. I disagree with them completely. I think it's one of... Well, First Class was really good.
See, everyone loves First Class. I hate First Class.
Really?
I find First Class nearly unwatchable. I just find it super corny. I don't think anything looks real. The only thing I like about First Class is the Magneto Professor X stuff.
I mean, every time... Well, Magneto and Professor X have like one of the best relationships in comics. Like, they're old friends, but also kind of enemies. And I actually... that in X-Men 3, which The Last Stand will never... got so bad, but probably my favorite scene in that whole movie is when what's his face, the young fire kid, is like, I would have killed Professor X later, and Magneto like stops him and is like, you're done, son. I would like, he's like, my greatest single greatest regret is that he had to die. And I was like, oh
yeah, that's
such a weightful line, because they really, and I think that First Class did a lot to really kind of develop that bond.
That's true.
Between them.
Yeah, I love the whole scene at the mansion where everyone's like honing their powers. That I like a lot.
Yeah.
I love when Magneto's moving the satellite
dish. That scene right there was so good, because he's a Holocaust survivor, which honestly, As far as superhero origins or supervillain origins go, Magneto's got kind of one of the best ones.
Like, he's my favorite supervillain.
He's so good. His motivations are so rock solid because he is a Holocaust survivor. He's been the person that was different.
I would call him an anti-villain.
Yeah.
Or an anti-hero.
I'd almost agree with that because he's been through the worst of humanity. He's been through it and he can't see people as being good anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially humans.
Basically anybody who would label him as different, which humans, of course, saying, you're a mutant. He's been to the other side of that, train of thought. And he, different, superior is kind of his whole thing.
Yeah.
Which also, Days of Future Past was so good, too.
Dude. Oh, boy, was it. Yeah, that movie was amazing.
The X-Men, I don't know. I wouldn't disagree with anybody who says X-Men Apocalypse is a terrible movie or a bad movie.
People didn't like X-Men. It.
I totally would disagree with that.
The Quicksilver scene was pretty darn good.
I agree.
They had Pizza Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a character in the Marvel Universe. Pizza Dog. I love it.
I don't know. Like, I think that Apocalypse was good. The one problem I maybe have with it is kind of the villain motivations for some of the characters are a little weird. Mm-hmm. Like, why Psylocke was just like, I guess I join up with him now.
She's drawn to power, I guess. And I guess I get that, but...
Yeah, like, I mean, I think that's just part of freaking Apocalypse's kind of charm, is that he's so powerful that he's just like...
Well, the thing was...
He's a one-man Apocalypse, you know? Like,
I was not convinced by him. The only problem I have with X-Men Apocalypse was Apocalypse.
That's kind of the other problem, is I don't think they really got Apocalypse quite right, because I feel like he wasn't intimidating enough. Like, Apocalypse in the comics is this
He wasn't even
huge,
tall enough.
He's huge, yeah. He's muscular, he's kind of wrinkly a little bit, but not like to the degree that they had him in the movie, where he's just like, this is an old man, and he's blue, and he's magic.
Yeah, the thing with Apocalypse is he's supposed to be able to control his atoms at will. He can make, arm a hammer or, turn into dust or... Which they kind of called back to when he could move the stone or whatever. But it's he's supposed to be unstoppable.
Almost. And I don't feel like he really was. Quite
Not at all.
Degree.
I feel like... I mean, Professor X fought him.
Yep.
You know? It's like... What?
Yeah.
He's supposed to... Yeah. And I get the whole, all the X-Men work together. It wasn't all the X-Men. It was Flame? Who had Flames?
Well, there was Phoenix / Jean Grey.
Yeah, but there was Jean Grey that did the ending.
There was Nightcrawler, Cyclops.
So Cyclops was shooting him.
Yeah.
Beast was throwing rocks?
I think.
It's like,
something like
come
that.
On, man.
Wolverine was there, right? No, that was the movie where
he was Weapon X at that point.
Yeah, which that's kind of one of the problems that I also have with Apocalypse. I don't know what the timeline is like.
There is no timeline anymore.
It's
so,
apparently all gone because everything's all changed and weird.
It was 1986, I think it was.
Yeah,
because in 1983. So 1983, Jean Grey's 17 or 18, right?
Yeah, and then in the previous movie,
in 1986,
she was like six.
She's 6 years old. What? What is happening? Also, have you seen the picture? It's like of Professor X and Magneto in 1986 versus 1983.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, those are tough
those
3 years.
Three tough years, yeah.
Oh, man. They go from being 25 to being 55 in 3 years, yep. So... Yeah, there's no timeline, but we've kind of accepted that.
Yeah, I
kind for
of,
X-Men
okay
movies, you know.
Well. Like at this point, whatever. We don't need the original X-Men movies then.
Yeah,
the first one was all right. The second one was all right. The third one was kind of.
Dude, I love the second one.
I think the second
just
one just
because Nightcrawler.
Really good. Yeah, Nightcrawler is great in that movie. I like that they really went into the Weapon X kind of origins and stuff like that. That was pretty good.
Dude, Hugh Jackman, that guy's enormous.
He is.
Guy's a freaking monster, dude.
And he looks so... But I didn't really realize it until they made the Old Man Logan trailer. But he's kind of old. He looks it like...
Dude,
he looks
he's 50-something.
Yeah. He looks like Old Man Logan in those trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh.
Did you hear what he said about why he's not doing Wolverine anymore?
I don't know why.
He said it was a gut feeling.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how many more egg whites he can eat. It's like, wow.
Fair.
What a guy.
Got him.
Yeah, that guy's jacked. Hugh Jackman.
Huge jacked man.
Wow. Huge jacked man. I think that is a new... I think that's... Hopefully that's the first time that joke's ever been made.
I don't know that it is.
I doubt it,
though. I might be referencing, but you know.
That's amazing.
I'm going to take credit for it.
Yeah.
It's totally me.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Huge jacked man. What else? What was I going to say? Oh, so the moment where Gene like restores some of his memory and then he runs away into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Did you notice how long it took for him to run away?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Didn't we look at each other like, the heck is going on? It's like, it's way too long. It's like a 10-second runaway scene.
It's a bit weird.
I liked it.
But then, I don't know if that's maybe like them trying to call back to the fact that Wolverine kind of had like a crush on Jean Grey for like ever in the comics, and then
makes sense.
But I don't know.
I get it, but... Like
it
when he ran
a
away.
Weird scene there,
it just,
yeah.
The runaway was like.
I also like they kind of set up the whole side. Huge jacked man.
Huge jacked man. He was a huge jacked man.
Okay, so where do we rank this?
I say right below Deadpool and Civil War.
Yeah. That's easily one of the top three, for sure. So good.
So right now, it stands as number 2. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. So we got two more. You know what they are.
Doctor Strange
and Suicide Squad.
All right. Suicide Squad.
Well, let's save Suicide Squad so we can tear it apart.
We're going to do that a little bit, I feel
like.
Oh,
we are.
Yeah.
So, Doctor Strange.
I actually thought Doctor Strange was really good.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know that it's like my favorite Marvel movie, though.
It's definitely not my favorite Marvel movie. I like it more than Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3 was... where do you see Doctor Strange on like the Pantheon? Because to me, it's one of the better... like.
It's probably 50%.
I think it's like one of the... I don't know. I probably like it better than...
I like it less than Captain America 1. I like it less than...
You like it less than Captain America 1? I thought you like really didn't like Captain America 1.
I don't. But I still think that's in the top 50% of Marvel movies. And then Iron Man 1...
See, I would have said the opposite. I would say it's probably like Ant-Man over Doctor Strange, Guardians over Doctor Strange,
Guardians. Guardians is in the top 3, I think.
Any of the team-up movies are all really good. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Well, except...
Ultron was a little...
I'd say probably Doctor Strange over Avengers 2, but those are pretty close to being like
pretty good movies.
Like, Thor 1 and 2, to me, are... Both really kind of blasé.
Thor 1's fine. Thor 2 is throwaway.
Yeah. I don't even know.
It's literally the Aether movie.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, here's an Infinity Stone, I guess. Whatever.
That's it. Also, Loki's free.
To me, Thor 2 was just setting up
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It could have been a 20-minute like one shot or something.
I mean, if we're talking about Marvel movies though, technically the worst Marvel movies are the Hulk ones. Yeah.
Those are bad.
Pretty bad movies.
Wait, which one?
Well, I think the first one is not... I don't know if that's still canon or not.
Because there's three. There's
the Ang Lee one, which was like the very first one, which is really bad.
Let's not even talk about
we're
that.
Except I'm not sure that one's canon. There's the one
No,
with,
it's not. There's Eric Bana.
He was okay.
Like Bruce Bana.
That's the one where he fights...
that's when he's
Abomination,
getting...
Abomination, right?
No, that's Edward Norton.
Okay, so Eric Bana is which one then?
Eric Bana is the one where it's sad Hulk running away from tanks.
Oh, yeah.
In the desert.
I remember that one. That one's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, real bad. And
I would say, honestly, all of those are still very bottom tier of
absolutely.
Movies.
And then, I don't know. I mean, Captain America 2's up there.
Yeah, Winter Soldier's. Well, because Winter Soldier just works so well on... Like, again, not to say this, but I think they really do just save all the best fight scenes for Captain America. Because Winter Soldier, like, the parts where they are squaring up to each other, that's some of the best choreographed fighting,
good choreography,
like,
yeah.
Ever.
I think...
Super good.
I thought that Iron Man was going to be the trilogy.
Yeah.
When I saw Iron Man 1, I was like,
but
oh my
But both the
gosh.
Iron Man movies outside of the first one are pretty bad.
Iron Man 2 is not great. I like the sound design
in
it.
Iron Man 2 was literally just like, hey, can Iron Man get ready for the Avengers? Yes.
There was a lot of suit action in that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a setup for the Avengers.
And then Iron Man 3. Ugh.
Awful.
Yeah, I rewatched that recently, and I can't really too much good about it. Like, to me, it's... Well, because I've heard interesting theories about it. Like, the lady in that movie, you know, who was the original scientist, was originally going to be the main villain, but then they switched it to, like, the other dude, and, like...
Because Marvel is sexist.
Well, honestly, I can't really disagree with that.
Like, have you seen that the playset that...
That has all of them, except no female heroes? And well, like,
yeah. it's a Lego set where it's Ultron fighting Captain America on top of a truck.
Yeah.
You know that scene in Winter Soldier? And then Romanoff comes on a motorcycle to save Captain America.
Yeah. It's a really good scene in the movie.
They replaced Black Widow. Do you know with whom?
Who?
Captain America.
So Captain America is driving
coming
along
to save himself. It's like, guys, what the heck? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
That is bad.
Yeah, it's pretty blatantly bad.
That is Ang Lee, Incredible Hulk bad.
Driving to save himself. Not great.
Yeah. So that's hilarious.
I don't know.
Doctor Strange. I'd say it's pretty good.
It's a solid, like, fourth on this year, right? I'd say it's below X-Men, above Batman v Superman.
I'd agree with that.
I actually really liked that for once the ending of that movie was kind of like a sort of turn it on its head, because he goes to, like, fight Dormammu, except he doesn't win. And the whole trick of that movie is he uses, like, the time loop to be like, you know, you can keep killing me over and over again, and I will never win, but I won't lose either.
Yeah.
Which kind of, like, turned expectations on its head, because, like, going into that, you're probably expecting, like, a crazy giant final fight scene of, like, magic and whatever.
I've come to bargain.
But, yeah, he came to
bargain. Over and over again. I think something that this relied pretty heavily on was its visuals.
Yeah.
And I was not one for the visuals.
I
saw it on a regular screen. Some people saw it in 3D on an IMAX screen and had their minds blown.
I mean, yeah, I can imagine that would be kind of mind-blowing.
So people were saying it's like unlike anything you've ever seen. The CGI is the best CGI ever, and it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I don't like the hands turning into hands turning into hands. The trippy sequence went too long for me.
I liked the trippy sequence right at the end when the Ancient One finally, like, does, like, the thing where it's just, like, a solid platform, like a mandala thing, around, like, with the buildings
that
kind of infinitely
cool.
Around it. That was really cool. But the part where, like, just buildings are kind of weirdly going everywhere, it was, like, I kind of,
Didn't do much for me.
We've already seen this before. This is an effect that was used, like, in Inception and other stuff like that.
Yeah, it felt like cheap Inception.
Yeah.
You know? And then it felt like cheap Inception and Interstellar.
Yeah.
Way to go. What's his name? Who directs those? Christopher Nolan.
It's true.
My man. Yeah, I really liked the Ancient One as Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, she was great.
She was awesome.
She was really good. I have to tell you a story about this movie.
Oh, okay.
I had right at the end of this movie, if you haven't seen it again, whatever, spoilers, but at the very end, like the end credit scene, you see Mordo, who, if you know from the comics, which I do, he goes on to become like Strange's biggest arch enemy, kind of. And he goes and he kills a dude. And oh my god, at my showing of Doctor Strange, because I stayed for the end credits, there's this dude who gets up in the front row and he's just yelling curses. And he's like, of course, the only guy who's not a liberal hippie who's not afraid to kill becomes evil. How dare they? And he was like, really just like redneck sounding. And it was amazing. I laughed
very
for like
nice
20 minutes.
I like it. Should have got a picture with that guy. My man.
I really wanted to. Like, he was so mad. I'm like, I wanted to like walk up to him and be like, you know, he's been like a villain in the comics forever. Of course he was going to be evil, but.
No, you can't
just
convince that.
Just let him get that guy.
Yeah, you can't convince that.
So funny.
I thought the motivations for this were a little meh.
And I also feel like the training montage for Doctor Strange was not very good. Like, I don't feel like... I have no idea how much time passed between
when
he was like, I'm a beginner, to being like, I'm Agamotto, I can control time now.
Yeah, and because he went and saw...
Well, the weird montage was, like, they just showed him in his bed with, like, books and stuff, and then slowly...
That could have been, like, 10
the
days.
The sideburns got grayer, and it's like, I don't... Is that a month? Is that a year? How long has he been doing this, you know?
And then he went back to... What's her name?
Which I don't really understand that whole side plot, too. Like,
meh.
It was kind of weird and throwaway. I don't really...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It was an okay origin story.
You know what? I didn't like it. I've decided. I didn't like that movie.
Dang, son. Yeah. It flipped so quickly.
Yeah. I liked Wong. I liked the ancient
the cape.
One.
The cape was cool, the ancient one.
Yeah. Cape of Levitation was good. I loved the ancient one, actually. I loved the whole twisted story with her.
Yeah.
I thought that worked. You know why they didn't have the ancient Tibetan man?
Because Tibet and like China and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because it's like 50% of the audience.
Yep.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't believe
people were
that.
Mad about that, but I'm like, I get it.
Okay, so I'm thinking this is still solid fourth, though. Like, better than Batman v Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than TMNT, not better than X-Men?
I don't think it's better than X-Men, personally.
I'm kind of there with you. Like, it wasn't a bad movie, but
I didn't
just don't
like
think
it.
There's... I don't think... I'm not there with you. I liked it,
but I hated it. No, it was fine.
I didn't think it was anything, like, super, like, strange or, like, you know, something to write really home about. It was just, you know... It was an okay, good one. There's no moment in that movie where I'm, like, really going back to, like, yeah, that part was awesome.
Yeah. I thought that not Mordo, Caecilius. I thought, he didn't really have a lot of motivation. He was just kind of like, listen.
I want to be immortal, because whatever.
Do you want that also? He was like, well, I did like some of, Strange's humor, where he's like, dude, look at your face. Like, you're obviously the bad guy.
That is
pretty
that
good.
That movie had some good humor to it, too. I'm curious to see where they go with Doctor Strange, because I think that they've got...
Well, he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily.
Well, they pretty much just connected him to being like, yeah, Thor, right at the end of that movie, too. But yeah, I think that that's a good origin story. I'm curious to see what they do with this character, because I actually liked Doctor Strange. He's probably one of my favorite characters in that movie.
Might actually be the smartest. Because he's in the Illuminati with Richards and Stark.
He's very smart.
He is very smart. Anyway.
He's cool. He's a good character. I like Benedict Cumberbatch as Stephen Strange.
He's perfect.
Super good cast. I'm curious to see what they do with him in future movies.
Yeah. I thought it could have benefited from a little bit of Deadpoolism, where they mix up the formula for the origin story a little bit.
Yeah.
I just hope they mix up everything for Deadpool. Like, because they're going for some... Well, the original director left, so that's bad.
Yeah.
But the writers are all still there. I just hope they don't fall into, like...
Doing the same thing over and over again.
Over and over again, which is what X-Men is kind of doing right now.
Yeah.
But it's fine, because I love the X-Men characters. Last, and possibly least... Suicide Squad. See, we got pumped for that.
It's hard for me to judge Suicide Squad because I got on the hype train for that movie, you know?
Me too.
And I can't say it's anything but a disappointment. Like, there's parts of that movie that were... And that's part of the problem with this movie, is there's parts of this movie where I feel like it really was succeeding. Where, like, things really worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the Harley Quinn scenes are really good. Like, the parts where the flashbacks with the Joker, it all feels
good. They worked,
but they don't work in the order of that.
But there wasn't enough of them either.
There wasn't any, there's not enough of them, and there's not really enough, like, reason for them to be there, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just kind of weird when they cut to them, and then you cut back to some other stuff. And they're so good that in a lot of the times, they seem like they're the more important part. Like, you cut away to the Harley Quinn scene, it's really good and awesome, and then you cut back and you're like, oh, I guess they're fighting more of the weird faceless guys for a little bit. And then you cut back to another Harley Quinn scene. And it's... Also, that is one of my biggest gripes about that movie, is the villains. The villains were awful.
They were
just weird eyeball monsters. They had no face, no personality, no character, nothing about them aside from being black guys that Deadshot can shoot.
Yeah.
Being said, the scene where Deadshot gets up on the car and just starts wrecking dudes.
And people are just like, all right, we'll stop. We'll let him finish this up.
Is also probably the best scene in that movie. So good.
Yeah, potentially the best scene. I liked, man, like Jared Leto apparently filmed like 45 minutes for this movie of like proper stuff and it never made it.
Yeah.
And he is mad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen interviews with him, but he is not happy about it. I haven't seen the extended version, but I don't think there's that many
either, but
many
I
additions.
Know.
So
my biggest problem with that movie is I feel like they had kind of too many characters. Like, mm-hmm. to me, I don't really know. And this has kind of been a thing that a lot of people have lampooned on the internet. And to be fair, I kind of agree with them. Why was Katana even there? Like,
she should have been stealing souls left and right. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I don't get what she was doing there, what her motivation was, besides, I'm going to be here for Rick Flag. And it was just like, I don't know. It just struck me as odd that she was, like, what? She didn't move the plot forward. She was there for, like, the 1 second joke of, like, when Rick Flag introduces her and nobody's impressed. That was the whole point of that character, was all the Suicide Squad people are like, whatevs. Good.
Yeah, no one got a moment to shine except maybe
Deadshot
and Harley.
Kinda did.
Yeah. Even the Joker didn't shine at all. Enchantress was doing nothing.
Yeah.
And despite doing literally everything in that movie, she still did nothing. What else?
I mean, there's other characters that I think are just kind of pointless in there too. Like, I don't really think Captain Boomerang.
Dude, I thought it was funny how, if everyone else was incredible in that movie and showed like all their powers, I think he would have been perfect. Where he's just like,
I'm just the regularest dude.
Literally like, drinking a beer during this big battle.
Right?
That's hilarious. But, you know.
I don't know. I just don't think that he was. Again, he's kind of a character where I don't feel like they did anything really with him.
Give him some exploding boomerangs.
Yeah,
you
give
know,
him some
give him
exploding
laser boomerangs.
Boomerangs.
I don't
get
know.
Him something like, you know, goofy. Let him show, because he was kind of one of the more comic relief characters that movie.
Yeah,
and I don't feel like he even really did that all that well, because Harley Quinn overshadowed him so much because she was the better comic relief and the better version of all that.
Yeah, she was the best part of the movie probably, as well as Deadshot, and then actually Batman.
Yeah,
Batman and Deadshot.
That scene, super good.
And then the Joker and Batman scene, super that makes me very excited for a solo Batman movie.
Yeah.
Which apparently is not going well.
Well, I mean, you could say that about like half the DC movies in production. Yeah.
Well, you know that they're doing Gotham City Sirens.
Yeah.
With, I think it's going to be Harley, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman.
I'm totally down for that.
I think that'd be great.
All good characters, all good motivations, all fun interactions with Batman for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, it promised to be so much and ended up being nothing. Like, Jared Leto gave people dead animals for like 5 minutes of screen time.
Yep.
That sucks.
It sucks.
He shaved his eyebrows.
Yeah.
He got in. He was in that character for like 6 months.
I wish that I had gotten to see that version or like whatever he really had, whatever was not there, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like to a certain extent, he should have been. And I, my biggest problem with that movie is, well, there's a lot of big problems with that movie, but I don't know. The Joker just seemed like a weird character. Like the scene, there's so many good scenes with him, but then overall he ends up being kind of useless. He doesn't move the plot forward. He doesn't really do anything. He's kind of just there for Harley's backstory. And that's, and then he shows up again to be like, we're still a thing, kind of. But
yeah, they didn't really explain the Joker and Harley very well in that movie.
Yeah, but then again, they had that scene where, like, he basically does, like, the baptism of Harley in, like, the same vat that made him.
Yeah,
the
Acme.
That was so good.
Yeah,
that
scene
was
cool.
Was, like, it's both symbolically and kind of, like, it's just symbolic and really good in a, like, sense. Like, that scene is really good because Harley basically takes the plunge, finally goes full tilt into the madness. And Joker, of course, comes back in and pulls her out of it a little bit and is, like, basically doing the baptism / rebirth into Harley Quinn. That's, like, the last moments of Harley Quinn's cell. And I think that scene really works.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they structured it that way.
The,
it's like,
the Joker, I'd say the heavy hitter villain of DC Comics, especially right now, people love him. He was just Harley's little dog, basically followed her around.
Yeah,
you know,
especially
except from
in that movie, like it just, I don't know.
I did like the throwback to the Alec Ross artwork, where it's like Harley in her suit, like her jester suit, and the Joker in a tuxedo, and they're like waltzing around.
Yep,
that was a good scene, but What a disappointment, man.
It really was. Like, that movie just... I don't mean to keep harping on it, but it had no really solid motivations for most of the characters. Structure was kind of weird, too. Like, it just felt weird and awkward in places. Like,
yeah. The structure where there's, like... It felt like they were together for an hour.
Yeah.
You know? And then, well, I think basically they were in time. But, well, probably a couple hours. But by the end, Diablo's like, don't hurt my family. And it's like...
You've been hanging out for like a
what?
Day. Like, whatever.
Yeah. It's and then, like, even Spider-Man, who'd been with Tony for like...
an hour, had so much of a better rapport. Like, that little 5-minute sit-down scene with just those two characters.
Amazing.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no trust established, and it was bad. Where are we putting this? Below or above BVS?
Because as much as we've talked bad about Suicide Squad, there were parts of it that I liked.
I liked the Deadshot Batman scenes. Those were incredible.
Yeah.
Most of Deadshot scenes were good.
I mean, Will Smith... and Margot Robbie pretty much carried this movie. Like, the other characters...
Dude, Will Smith was a huge jacked man in this movie.
He was a huge jacked man. Not the huge jacked man.
No. Oh, no, no.
But he was pretty huge and jacked.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough call.
I'm going to say, just because of the weight of who Batman and Superman are, it goes above Suicide Squad.
I'm kind of there with you a little
bit. Are you thinking...
Well, because there's parts of Suicide Squad that I really like. Like, the parts where it does actually go kind of fun and just shows the dude.
It was more enjoyable, you're right. Like, in terms of fun.
But is that necessarily what we...
Like, Killer Croc was wasted.
Killer Croc, that's the worst character in my opinion.
He did nothing.
He wasn't explained his whole origin. Like, he was there for Harley to go at one point and be like... You're cute, you know, you're whatever. She made like a platonic.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
That was that line for that character. Very much like Katana, where it was just like, we put this character in here for this joke or whatever, I guess that's
it. She should be stealing souls left and right, is all I'm saying. That's such a cool story, man. Ridiculous.
So yeah, I kind of am okay with putting it below Batman v Superman.
All right. Me too. Boom. All right. What was better, Deadpool, Civil War? This is going to solidify our list.
I don't know.
All right, ready? So 1, 2, 3, shoot. On shoot, we're going to say. Ready? What we think.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, Civil Deadpool.
War. I'm still man. Civil War. I think I can't do Deadpool over Civil War just because I've loved that comic.
Yeah.
For like ever. Like, it's so cool to finally see that storyline, which was like such a big storyline for Marvel Comics at the time, that like it, you know, it was such a big storyline from that it's cool to see it on the screen. Whereas like,
yeah,
Deadpool,
they did handle a massive story.
Yeah.
And they handled it very well.
I mean, honestly, to me, that's like what Avengers 3 should have been. Like, if they had just called that Avengers 3, I would have been totally okay with that being.
And I think the Russo brothers, the guys who did that, are going to do Infinity War,
which I'm so excited for.
I think
yes.
That's going to be good. You know what? I'll cede in saying that Civil War should be number one, just because of the grandeur.
The scope of it. Yeah. Is I think Deadpool. Honestly, I think works so well because people didn't really probably expect this amazing movie out of it, and it came out and it surprised everybody, and everybody's like, "This movie was dope."
Yeah.
But Civil War almost to me seems like a movie that was like, I couldn't, if you had told me 10 years ago that they were going to do a Civil War movie, I couldn't have imagined that being a good movie.
Yeah. Well,
I could have imagined it being like Batman v Superman, where it's like all kinds of just weird wishy-washy stuff and then whatever.
I imagined that when I saw Civil War, I saw Spider-Man and I was like, yes.
Yep.
I'm going to see this no matter what. But I saw everything else in Civil War and I was like, I don't like it. When I saw the trailer, I just thought that it was going to be small and feel tiny compared to, you know, the enormousness that is Civil War, the comic book.
Yeah. And then they nailed it.
They did a good job.
So big for it. Like, it...
Well, it felt contained enough and yet heavy enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it felt weighty for the characters, you know? Like, there's some lasting beef that we're going to see. This movie had consequence.
And
like,
you know what?
Going to happen.
That is good enough for me. However, I think Deadpool was the more, obviously more comedy.
Yeah.
A lot more enjoyable in terms of that. But as a film, I think Civil War takes it.
I think I agree with that. Although, this is not to say that Deadpool is not good or not better or whatever.
No, not at all. In fact, it is number two. But
honestly, you should absolutely go see both.
Like, second is the best.
They're a hair difference between good and... I mean, it's semantics. There's a reason we literally saved it for the last debate. Is
yeah, because we could barely decide.
Fantastic movies.
All right, here is our list. In order from worst to best. So this is out of seven. Number seven, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Enough said.
Number six, Suicide Squad. Didn't live up to the hype.
Really didn't. Which I feel like if I had gone to that movie less like excited, it was okay. You know?
It was fine, I guess.
But I would not say that it was good.
Number five, Batman vs. Superman. Doesn't know how to juggle.
Yeah, also kind of has a problem of being of not living up to the hype either.
Yeah, that's also true. Well, yeah, and that's hype from like...
For years in the
50 making. Years, yeah. Basically. Number four. What is number four?
Doctor Strange.
I was like, DS. Deadstool.
Deadstool.
Doctor Strange...
Pretty good.
Pretty good origin movie. Not Marvel's best.
Yep.
X-Men Apocalypse. I grew up with these characters.
I honestly liked it. I can't say... I don't really understand why people would be like, this is the worst X-Men.
Magneto and Professor X made this movie for me.
Yep.
Especially Magneto scenes. We didn't even talk about...
Oh, so good. Those. Like, the part... Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to freaking Magneto having, like, the worst luck in anybody. Ever. Like... Every time he's happy for like 10 minutes, something just horrible happens.
Someone shoots it.
Yep. And it's always a human guy with like a gun. And it's
dude,
like,
taking the necklace through all those dudes. That is something. All right. So yeah, number three, X-Men Apocalypse. I adored that movie. I really did. Deadpool, number two. I adored that movie as well.
So good.
Yeah.
Super, super fun. Super, super good time.
Very excited for the second one. Yep. Ryan Reynolds. Perfection.
Nailed that character. 100%.
Number one goes to Civil War, just for the massive scope and amount of characters that it juggled flawlessly.
It really did.
It really was flawless like, I in can't, that juggling, yeah.
Yeah, I can't say, like... I mean, even like, Ant-Man is... Like, Ant-Man's the one character in there who's, like, you know, kind of a weird... Like, his motivation isn't super solid, but again... That's kind of the point of that when he comes in, is he's like, Captain America is asking me
I know,
for
he's
my
like,
help.
Guys, it's Captain America. They're like, we know.
I know, and that's something I think that they really did well with Ant-Man and Spider-Man, is that those characters felt like they meant something in that universe. Like, you know, they both came in with such reverence for these heroes that they were just like, yeah, I'll sign up with you immediately. You're Tony Stark / Captain America. What can I do? Like,
they gotta have, everybody has to have a bug man.
It's true.
You know? I guess Spider-Man's an arachnid, man. Anyway. Whatever.
Both insects.
Yeah. Well, are they? Is a spider an insect? I don't think so.
You might be totally right. I might have just completely been wrong.
They're both insects. Now we know. Nathaniel, let me tell you where people can find the show.
Please do, Alistair.
All right. They can email the show at thebslpodcast@gmail.com. They can find us at Bite Sized Lemons on Twitter, Facebook, now Instagram, Podomatic, and YouTube.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I nailed that.
You did. That was
not
like,
bad.
It was such a good plug, Alistair.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks
for being on the show, my man.
Yeah. Quick question.
Yeah.
Did I actually invoke the Censor Fairy this time?
No.
I think I totally managed to avoid it.
No Censor Fairy editing necessary.
I'm so proud of that. Like, I was trying so hard this whole time.
This is going to be one of the first episodes in a long time.
Where there's where, no Censor Fairy,
well,
more Godzilla noises, no editing.
Where there's no editing necessary.
That's
right?
True. Well, I mean, we did have, like, the goofy little audio bump there in the middle, but...
Oh, yeah, besides that.
I think there's this, yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, of course, you could say that, like, the first one where we recorded, like, 2 minutes with no mic from one. You probably have to edit that out, too, but I don't know if that's just separate.
That's already gone. So
rip in peace that part.
Rip. Happy January, everybody.
Happy January. Not New Year's, because we already did that. But
nope.
You know, we're doing retrospective a week
done.
Later.
Done with that. Sweet. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Not a problem,
Let's high five. Also, beginning of February or sometime during February, we're going to do fire types definitive ranking.
Okay. I challenged it. There's no way we cannot. Yes.
All right, let's high five each other.
Ah. Oh, that was a weak hole. Let's try it.
Yes.
Better.
Nice.
Bye,
guys.